Today I want to talk about three things, about crisis, about character, and about courage. Perhaps this is a little bit of a theme that you heard if you were with us last week or you're able to catch up online, that theme of endurance and perseverance and carrying on. But that is what we're talking about today, about crisis, about, what's the next one? Character, and about courage. Awesome. Not too many people that I know jump up and down when we start talking about crisis. It's just not something that happens. Not too many people get overjoyed or look forward to crisis. But crisis happens to everyone. Crisis comes from, as I looked into this and tried to dissect the word a little bit over this past week, comes from the Latin word cry, which means to weep or to bawl or to wail or to gnash of teeth or to have perpetual face leakage, okay? And it comes, the second part of the word comes from sis, which is that elementary boy's derogatory term for another young boy who has acted like a coward, like a sissy. And so sis comes short for sissy. And so crisis means that you would cry like a sissy, okay? That is not at all what it means, but that's what I feel like sometimes when I face crisis. I want to cry like a sissy, and then my theme song can be like that other playground theme song that others have. You would cry too if it happened to you, okay? That's crisis. It happens to everybody. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when we face crisis. Some people have one right smack dab in the middle of their lives. Can I get an amen? Okay? Some people are overachievers, so they have their crisis early, okay? There are other people who are a little bit delayed, and they just have it later on. There are some people who just face life, and it feels like crisis after crisis after crisis. So it feels as though life is crisis, and that's a painful piece. But crisis happens to every single one of us. See, if you're in the sports world, crisis is that decisive moment. It's at the end of, there's 2 minutes left on the clock, and it's clutch time. What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? Who are you going to turn to? Who's going to make the throw? Who's going to make the closing pitch? Who's going to make the shot? Who's going to, you know? It's clutch time. It's go time. In business world, it's a crossroads. Crisis comes when, you know, is it going to be people or is it going to be profit? Is it going to be progress or is it going to be, and you just fill in the blank. In individuals' lives, it could be health. Could be our physical well-being. It could be our mental stability. It could be our emotional stability. And sometimes we have a spiritual crisis based upon the season of life or the things that are in front of us. Crisis happens to everyone. It's not a matter of if it happens. It's a matter of when it happens. In literature, crisis is a major part of the structure of story. Without crisis in story, it's flat, right? We like to read stories that have, you know, crisis and this great character development and then this great overcoming and this resolution, right? That's story, right? And you take the crisis out of that story, out of the movie, and nobody's going to read it, and nobody's going to rent it, and nobody's going to watch it, right? That's crisis. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So, most people that I know have either been through a crisis, are in a crisis, or about to go into a crisis. So, I want you to think in your minds just kind of where you are. And if you can get a crisis in your cranium, just to stay with the C's, you know, because we're talking about that today. If you can get a crisis in your cranium for the just next few moments, then what we talk about today won't just be something you can apply later down the road. It'll be something that you can immediately begin to apply God's word to. So, for a show of hands and of great courage, those who have been through a crisis, can you just raise your hand? I have been through a crisis. Look around. Notice that the people have been through a crisis, okay? And they have been through it. They have made it. They have survived. And it's going to be okay, all right? You notice those people, right? Because the next group of people, if you are willing and courageous enough to just raise your hand and say, you're currently in a crisis. And maybe the hand just kind of goes up like this. Hopefully you're noticing the people that have just been through a crisis, okay? And if you think that you are on the cusp or just around the corner might be a crisis, maybe raise your hand a little bit too, knowing that something's around the bend. Now, I'm glad that nobody did one of these, you know, this you are my crisis, right, you know, or my crisis didn't come today, you know, but, you know, it's not a matter of if crisis. You either have been through crisis, are in crisis, going to go through crisis, and it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So touch three people, tell three people, it's going to be okay. Okay, go ahead. Go. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Okay? All right. And there's hope at the end of this message. We'll get there. We'll get there. Joshua was facing crisis. Absolutely facing crisis. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, it says, after the what? Death of Moses, right? After the death of Moses. You can feel, you can sense there's a crisis happening in Joshua's life right there within the first three words of this book of the Bible. I just want to encourage you to read this whole book. Great book. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord came to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. Joshua was facing crisis. This leader, this amazing leader, Moses, who had received kind of a call to action by God, by a burning bush, right, to go and rescue God's people from the hand of the most powerful ruler on the globe at the time. He saw Moses lead the people out of that slavery, which they had been in for over several hundred years, lead them through the Red Sea on dry land, okay? And then to walk around in the wilderness for 40 years where God provided manna for them and water and where he protected them and he guided them by pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. And now that leader was not going to be able to go and lead them into the promised land, but that leader was now dying. You can almost just feel the leadership vacuum, right? I mean, who's going to fill those sandals? Those sandals that were supposed to be tossed off to the side because they were standing on holy ground, right? And God points as Moses points at Joshua. You can almost feel it in Joshua. He had been old enough to be one of the spies to go into the promised land to see if they were to take the land or not. And as one of 12 spies, only two of them came back and said, we should take the land. Joshua and Caleb said that. They came back, said, we should take this land. 10 of them said no. And so they wandered for 40 years. So take the age that Joshua was when he became a spy for God in the promised land, add 40 years, and now you've got this call on this man's life to step into the place, into the role where this other leader had been. Inside Joshua, I can't imagine what's going on. Maybe there's a piece of that boyhood, oh yeah, it's finally my turn, it's finally my due, and then the other piece of Joshua probably going, oh God, it's my time, it's my due. You know? Both eager anticipation and also perhaps fear and concern and doubt, just like his previous leader. Joshua was facing a crisis. And in times of national crisis, we need strong leaders we can trust. And how you meet the crisis displays the kind of character that is within. That's the truth about Joshua. We saw the crisis. We know what's happening. But the character of Joshua is awesome all throughout his life to study and to look at. What Joshua did and how he did it displayed who he is, right? What Joshua did and how Joshua did it displayed who Joshua is. It's easy to take a look at Joshua's life and see what he did. Joshua was that conquering commander. He led people into the promised land. If you read through the rest of the book of Joshua, and it is awesome. It is an awesome book. If you want to be encouraged and get a, kind of like a little spiritual adrenaline, read through that book. But he led them into the promised land. He was a brilliant military strategist. If you read through it, those of you who like military strategy, you'll know that he came across the river and he camped himself at the center of two major trade routes so that he could then take over the land to the north and into the south, and how he was in control of that area. But he was a wise administrator. Once they had taken the land as God had told them to do, as the promised land, he wisely divided it up into the tribes in such a way that there was no tribal warfare going on. According to God's direction, he divided it up. And so he was a conquering commander. He was a brilliant military strategist. He was a wise administrator. But who Joshua was, he was humble. He was humble. He was the kind of man that could get on his knees and repent. He was the kind of man who was not too big to be used by God or to bow down in repentance. That's a pretty important characteristic. So it was a time in which Joshua had told a group to go in and to take this land and take the city of Ai. And it was a horrible defeat for the people of God. And Joshua didn't understand why. And yet there were some things going on behind the scenes with the people of God, and they were being disobedient, and sin had entered into the camp. Once that sin was dealt with and removed away, then they were able to have the victory God had enabled them to have. Joshua was not too proud of a man to get on his knees to humbly repent before the Lord and recognize that they had strayed from the right and to the left of what God had told them. They had not faithfully fulfilled the law of God. But he was devoted. He had saturated his heart and his mind with God's word. In verse 8, it says, keep this book of the law where? Always on your lips. Always on your lips. Meditate on it when? Day and night. Why? So that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And then what's going to happen as a result? Then you will be what? Prosperous and successful. See, that is Joshua. Joshua preparing in the off season for what he knew he was going to need when he was in season. Reading and studying and allowing God's word to penetrate his heart and his mind when times are good, so that when times are tough, it was there and it was ready for him. Don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on day and night so that you might be careful to follow everything that's in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Friends, what if we were to take that scripture, write it on a note card, pop it in our pocket, put it on our mirror and study it and look at it day after day after day, that it might penetrate our hearts, that then we might be able to call upon it when times are tough in our lives. And we would have been prepared for the season. Oh, that like Joshua, our lives would be just drenched by God's word. But as we talked last week, we need to spend time within it, allow it to come into our lives and be washed over by it, and then to speak it into our lives. But Joshua was certainly humble. He was certainly devoted. But one of the most admirable characteristics of Joshua was his courage. His courage. Doing the right thing in spite of danger, discouragement, and difficulty. That's courage. It's not that somebody is not scared or not doubting or not concerned. It's that in spite of circumstances, a person is able to do the right thing in the midst of that discouragement or that failure or in that difficulty or in that danger. And as I was studying courage this week, it was a neat thing to recognize. Many people agree that there is courage in every one of us. Oh yeah, it's in every single one of us. Traces can be found in every single person at varying degrees. There are some of us who feel like we've got about this little bit much courage, right? Itty bitty courage. And there's some who feel like courage is kind of off the map in their lives. But every person has courage. And the other neat thing about courage is that it can be developed within our lives. The more we execute our will in the face of danger or discouragement, the stronger our courage grows. So some would say that if you long for courage to grow in your life, then continue to execute it in your life. It can be achieved through exercising of the will, so that when you are faced with either physical or social or spiritual threats or danger or pains and crises in front of you, we can respond in all kinds of ways. We talked about this before. When that crisis is there in front of us, we can perhaps sometimes freeze. Maybe that was the case with some of the disciples that we talked about in the boat last week. They stayed in the boat where Peter was willing to walk on water. They remained in the boat. Perhaps they were paralyzed by the storm of what was going on around them. Well, another opportunity when facing crisis is to flee, to run away. It's a great survival tactic, right? It's perhaps a good thing within us to run away in the face of danger. Keeps us alive. It also works great in temptation sometimes when it's too great. Read about the story of Joseph when Potiphar's wife was coming on to him, and he knew in order to be God's man, he needed to just run away. Drop the cloak and go, right? Carry nothing with you. All abandonment in the other direction, right? So sometimes it is good to flee. Sometimes, though, it is good to stand and to resist and to block any advancement of the enemy. And then there are times when courage is to move forward and to not only press, but to run to the battle. There are lots of ways to respond, but the courageous person is the one who reacts not because of the pain or the danger that's in front of them, but because of the spirit or the strength or the purpose that is within. That's what drives so many people to be able to do such courageous, heroic acts when others might stand idly by. That thing within that drives us forward, that purpose, that governing ideal, Joshua had that within him. Joshua was courageous. He was courageous his whole life long. It wasn't just courage in the midst of battle. Joshua was courageous as an apprentice to Moses. He was courageous as a spy. He was courageous as that leader. As that spy who came back and was 2 among 12, and he said his piece, let's go in and take the land, and all the people said, no. There are giants in the land. They'll squash us. He could have been so discouraged that he never rose up to have another word of courage again. But he hung in with Moses as his apprentice. 40 years of wandering around in the desert and wondering what is God up to in this mess, he could have been discouraged. 40 years of praying and crying out to God and perhaps not getting his prayers answered the way he wanted, he could have been discouraged, but there's something driving him within. That when it came time for him to lead the people into the promised land, he was ready to step up and step forward and lead on. That's courage. That's courage. And I think where we see that is that his courage was not in his own abilities, his own skills, his own talents, his own training, his own experience. His courage came from his confidence in God. Read it with me in verses 6, 7, and 9. In verse 6 it says, be what? Strong and courageous. Because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. In verse 7, it says, be what? Strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from the right or the left, and that you may be successful wherever you go. And in verse 9, it says, have I not commanded you? What? Be strong and courageous. Do not what? Be afraid. Do not what? Be discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua, If you didn't get it the first time, be strong and courageous. You didn't get it the second time, be strong and very courageous. If you didn't get it the third time, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for I will be with you wherever you go. Do you ever wonder why when we read through the Psalms, and the psalmist who's probably facing some crisis or tragedy in life, they say things over and over and over and over again. You know, I could sing of your love forever. 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 It doesn't sound like they're on repeat, right? I mean, this is where that little button just is circling over and over. Could it be that the first time they say it because they know they need to say it? I could sing of your love forever. Say it again and you might start to believe it. I could sing of your love forever. And then it starts to become a confidence within. I could sing of your love forever. And then you know it to be true and you just got to tell somebody, I could sing of your love forever. Could it be that you and I need that encouragement that today, whatever you're facing, whatever you have faced, whatever you're going to face, be strong and courageous and say it out loud that we might believe it's true. Be strong and courageous, for I am with you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged, for wherever you go, I am with you. Friends, I think that's the point. The point is how we face crisis is determined by who we face crisis with. How is determined by who. How we face crisis is determined by who we face crisis with. Joshua relied upon the power and the presence and the promise of God. That's how he was to be courageous. Now, you and I, we don't have some of the same challenges that Joshua had. He was being called to run to the battle. We are sitting here in Midlothian, Virginia, suburbia land, okay, right? Most of us today are not running out of the building, running to the battle, right? It's a different kind of battle. There's a different kind of moral courage that needs to be raised up within us. For some of us, it's just the level of endurance of making it through the day, dealing with the frustrations, right? Overcoming the fact that hope has been squashed or the way the thing we thought life was going to play along would turn out a certain way and it just hasn't. Sometimes it's that kind of courage that needs to well up within us. Sometimes it's the courage to take a stand for justice and the oppression that is going around us. For some, it's the courage to stand for God in a world that doesn't want to stand for God and to stand for God's people when other people will not only ignore them, but persecute them. For some, it's courage just to move forward and move forward and move forward, move forward. Just move forward. Move forward. See, in Hebrews chapter 11, there's this amazing picture of people who face some extraordinary crises in their lives. And as I read this, I just want you to listen. And I want you to think about those are people a long time ago, right? And God did extraordinary things through them, you know. He doesn't know my life. Right? Because the reality is God wasn't just the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and on and on and on. God is the God of them and us. It wasn't just a promise that God would be with them, but God will be with us. And so where we think we are ordinary people facing extraordinary crises, these people found their names in the Bible because they faced ordinary crisis with extraordinary faith in God. Listen to what God has to say, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskin, goatskin, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what has been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Friends, for the Christian, for the follower of God, recognize that courage is directly proportionate to your knowledge of who God is and your confidence that God will be who God is. The recognition that we do not have to go through life alone. See, that's the good news. Some of us have been walking through life alone, discouraged, worn out, beat up, because we have been self-reliant, because we've been focusing on what we can or cannot do on our own, in our own strength and our own abilities. And God says, I never intended it to be that way. Don't go through life in that way. Recognize I will be with you. So for the follower of Jesus, to face crisis is very different from the one who does not know Jesus. And God says, this is available to anyone who would believe. I will go with you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Do you know that your life is in the hands of the Almighty God, who at an instant can command angel armies on your behalf? My God is so great, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. He's not only great, he's good. Did you know that your God is looking out for you, that he is protecting you, that he is providing for you? You do not have to go alone. Wherever there is darkness, whatever tragedy you are facing today, God is the light. And if you look back in that crisis moment, perhaps all you saw was darkness, but if you look closely, God was there. God was present. And you can see God's light shining. Right now it may feel as though the crisis is overwhelming, but God is present. God is with you. God wants you to know that you are not alone, that he has not forsaken you. And he's not left you alone. And as you go into some crisis, God wants you to know you do not run into that crisis alone. God goes with you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So, how do we go from crisis to courage? How do we go from this scenario where crisis seems massive and big and bold and huge, and we've got this character that we're trying to hold on to as a foundation, and courage seems, wee, there'll be courage, right? To the other flip side, role reversal of this, where crisis is small and character is still steadfast in the middle, but courage is strong. And I think we do it by relying upon God and saying out loud, God's got this, right? Say it out loud. God's got this, right? Whose name is large and in charge? God's, right? It's not, I got this. It's God's got this. God's got this. Whatever this is, God's got it. God's got it. And we need to say it out loud over and over and over. God told Joshua, be strong. Be courageous. Be strong. Be very courageous. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't be afraid. don't be afraid. I'm with you. Joshua had seen God work in his life before. He had seen God rescue and free the people of God from the most powerful person and army the globe had seen. He'd seen him walk his people, stack up the waters on a side and let them walk through on dry land. He'd seen him provide for them in the desert and protect them in the desert. And then he helped them walk through another body of water into the promised land. That's a great God. That's a good God. And maybe you need to be able to take a look back and see where God has brought you from to where you are today, to know that he can carry you through tomorrow. Maybe that's the confidence you need to pull back into your present scenario, because there's a time to bend down and to repent, just as Joshua had said, and say, Lord, forgive me. I've spent these days, these months, these years on my own strength, my own energy, my own abilities, resting on my own accomplishments. Forgive me. There's a time to bow and to repent so that God can carry us forward, but then there's a time to stand and to plant your feet firm on the ground and to be ready for what is coming, because God says, not just to people of old guys, be strong and courageous. He says to you and he says to me, be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for I am with you. God's got this. God's got this. So in arenas, they have these times when you get to the game early and people don't know what to do with their time, so they just, live out beer commercials, okay? And the whole arena kind of divides in half, just like we could divide in half right here, okay? And sometimes we need to claim God's promises out loud. So just say out loud, everybody with me, God is with me. God is with me. Now say, God is for me. God is for me. Now this side say, God is with me. And this side say, God is for me, okay? Come on, this is terrible, You know, in the sports arena, they get like enthusiastic and excited about this stuff, And it's like a competition, and the one side's trying to outdo the other side, not tickle each other, Come on. God is
with me. God is for me. God is with me. God is for me.
Awesome. See, now we're talking. Now, there's people in here that, whether they admit it or not, they were kind of in the crisis situation, right? They didn't do this, thankfully, right? And they didn't call out names, right? But they are in crisis, and they need a word of encouragement. And so this is our dividing line, right? Again, you all are supposed to look at this side, okay? This side is supposed to look at this side. Now, you're to encourage one another, right? So God is with you, is your phrase, okay? God is for you, is your phrase, okay? So are you ready? Awesome. Some of y'all are still looking at me like, this guy is nuts. Yes. Yes. There are some people who are in crisis. There are some people who are about ready to go through crisis, and they need to hear that word of encouragement. God's got this. God has got this. God is with me. God is for me. I will not be afraid. I will not be discouraged. Be strong and courageous. Friends, there are times when our prayers won't be answered the way that we thought they should be. We think that audacious faith means that somehow we can manipulate and coerce God, that somehow we could just, make happen what we expect to happen. But friends, people have been trying to do that all along. And if we were able to say A plus B equals C with God, then we'd be God and God would not be God. Audacious faith doesn't mean, as we said last week, that your prayers work every time. It means that God is working even when your prayers don't seem to be working at all. That's audacious faith. And our crisis is our greatest opportunity to see God's goodness and His glory revealed. It's an opportunity to have the high honor of being able to reveal that greatness and that goodness of God to others. Crisis isn't about our ability. It's about God's ability. It's not even about God's ability. It's about God's amazability. So whatever you're facing today, whether you have just come through crisis, whether you are in crisis, whether you're going to about turn the corner and feel like you're in crisis, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. God is with you wherever you go. God's got this. Would you pray with me? Lord, forgive us for the times when we have not been the people of courage and our courage has been small and we have had our focus on our own troubles or on the crisis instead of you. And Lord, help us to move beyond that, to be the kind of people that continually focuses upon you, that you might be revealed as strong and great in our lives. Lord, we pray that you would help us to take that very next step, that we would not do life alone, that we would do life with you and with others, all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God's people said, Amen.